I read to you there out of Job 25. Bildad asked the question, how then can man be justified with God? I titled this message, The Question of Questions. How can God be justified? How can a man be justified with God? How can a sinner be justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman from the seed of Adam? That's what he's talking about. He said, Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. When I read that years ago, I thought, the moon and the stars are not pure in his sight. He saw that man would walk on the moon. I said, that's foretelling that we'd walk on the moon. We polluted it. We went up there and polluted, stuck a flag on it. Anything we touch, truth, is unclean. If we have anything to do with it. By God's word. How much less man? If the stars and the moon are not pure in his sight, how much less man? That is a worm. And that word means maggot. You say, well, that's harsh. Well, you know, truth on the flesh is harsh. You know, whenever you look into the mirror of God's word, God's law, God's word, it shows us who we really are and who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and our need of him. That's what it shows us. How much less man that is a worm and the son of man, which is a worm. Now, this is the question of questions. How can a man be just before God who is holy and demands perfection? Are you interested? Now, I know this. Everyone here who knows what the guilt of sin is interested in this. And everyone that you do not know what the guilt of sin is, this will bore you to death. It'll be nothing but cold, dry doctrine. But it won't be that way to you who believe. To be cleared of all charges, to be cleared of all sin, to stand before God perfect, to stand before God with no sin. How can a man be just with God? Let me tell you, I'm point this out. And this is telling to me. This is really telling. I can preach a sermon here, and I can title it, How Do We Get Through Trouble? How can we get through this trouble? Put it on sermon audio, and it'll get a lot of hits. I can put, How Can a Man Be Just with God? It gets a lot less hits. You know how telling that is? How can this sinner right here, standing in front of you, how can this sinful man stand before God Almighty justified? I know my sins. I don't know them as God knows them, but I know something of the guilt of sin. I know something of it. And yet I can stand before God cleared of all charges. How can that be? Well, go back over to Acts chapter 13, and we have the answer. It's a very simple answer. In Acts chapter 13, we will look at verse 38 and 39. Verse 38, be it known and very clear, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins comes through a man. That's how it comes. Forgiveness of sins does not come just by asking. It comes by asking for forgiveness through this man, Jesus Christ. You can't believe what you don't know, and you can't believe on someone you don't know. And that's why he says, be it known unto you. Be it known, you're being enlightened right now. Every person in this room is being enlightened. Be it known to you how God can be a just God and a Savior. Be it known unto you how God can forgive me of my sins. If God is pleased to save any of us, He will make the gospel of Jesus Christ known. He will make this man known. What is it that God is pleased to make known? This man. His son. That through this man, this God-man mediator, this man whom God raised from the dead, if you'll read the scriptures before that, Paul is speaking about God raised him from the dead. God has raised this man from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. And it's through this man that we have real forgiveness of sins. The very thing God hates, we have real forgiveness of it. Does anyone have sins here this morning? Do you have sins you need forgiven? God can forgive us of any sin and all sin through this man Jesus Christ. God has declared through the gospel the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, whom He sent to be the propitiation for our sins. His blood answers for my sins. Look no other place than this man. And by him, by this man, all that believe are justified. What did Bildad say? How can man be justified with God? And then we turn over here to Acts 13 and he tells us. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. You say, well, you just don't know my life. You don't know some of the things that I have done. God has allowed some of his sheep to do some horrendous things. I mean some horrible things. David commits adultery and then has her husband murdered. And God saves him. God forgives him. How did he do that? Through this man. You know, Jesus Christ suffered the wrath of God for that adultery. Jesus Christ took the hell of God's wrath for David putting her husband to death. Christ died for that. Christ suffered for that. Now, you take every sin, even the sins that we don't even know. And I think there's more sins we don't know about than what we do. You know, you and I have a habit of cataloging sin. You know, we tell little white lies. There ain't no such thing. A lie is a lie. A lie is a lie, even if Rahab tells it. Rahab lied to them. He died for that lie too. A lie is a lie. He said, well, there's good lies, there's bad lies. Well, and to us there is, but the lie is a lie. Right is right and wrong is wrong with God. Isn't it? Isn't that so? That's so. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. And listen, that does not mean all things up until the time you believe. No, God has forgiven me all of my sins, the ones I haven't even committed yet. Is that too strong? That's how powerful the death of Jesus Christ is. That's how effectual the death of Jesus Christ is. In fact, when he died for my sins, I wasn't even alive. I hadn't even committed the first one yet. But God knew them all. God knew every one of them. And he laid all my sins that I hadn't even committed yet on his son. He's called the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's why when Adam sinned, he heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. Instead of wrath, like Mount Sinai, wrath and fire and brimstone, he heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. You know why? Because the matter had already been taken care of. God already took care of the matter. He laid Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He tells us here how we cannot be justified. We can't be justified by obeying the law ourselves. You know why? Because we've never done it. Because the law has to be obeyed, first of all, in the heart. David said, "Oh, how I love thy law." You know who really loved God's law? And David's speaking in the spirit of the Messiah. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved God's law. And he kept it perfectly. None of us can do it. Because it's got to start here first. That's why back in those Jewish, they started taking the laws of God and substituting the tradition of the fathers for them. You know, they said, you know, they were, instead of honoring your mother and father, they found a way out of that. They said, this gift is for the temple, it's for God, it's for Corbin, it's for God. And they thought, because they said, this amount of money that I've got is for God. This is the way the priest found a way around, or the Pharisee found a way around getting the money. getting in their pockets. And they don't have to support mom and dad no more. They don't have to help mom and dad no more, because this is for God. God said, take care of your mom and dad first. And you know what? No tradition will ever substitute God's law. No tradition. We cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Can't be justified by it because we can't keep it. It's the law that condemns us. If you commit a crime right now, let's say you go over there and break into my house over here. Are you going to run down to the courthouse and stand before a judge and try to get justified? That's the last place you want to go, isn't it? It's the last place you want to go is stand before the law if you broke the law, because the law cannot justify a criminal. It has to condemn the criminal. That's why you can't be justified by the law. But notice here how simple Paul keeps it. He says, by him. It's not, listen, he does not say, and by him and keeping the law, which is what the Pharisees tried to do. They tried to incorporate the law and the gospel together. You can't do it. You can't incorporate grace and works together. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And Paul keeps it very simple. He says, by him all that believe. Paul summed up justification in two words. You can sum up justification in two words. To stand before God justified, cleared of all charges. Here are the two words that simplifies it all. By him. That's it. By him. By him. This is the great mystery of the gospel. How can God be just and justify me? By him. Don't add anything to it and take nothing from it. By him. How can God clear me of all charges? By him. By him. Remember that publican and that Pharisee? That Pharisee stood and said, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I fast. And he did. I give tithes. And he did. You know, what he said he did, he did. But he claimed it as him doing it and not the grace of God in him. But that sinner said, he just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And guess who went down to their house justified? That sinner. Not that one that says, I did this, I do that. No. The one who just said, I'm a sinful man. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Now, there's five words that I'm going to look at. I'm going to try to look at them briefly. There are five words that are used in the Word of God that speak of justification. The first one is this, grace. Turn over to Romans 3. We're going to do a little turning this morning. Romans chapter 3. He says in verse 23, in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Well, we came up short. And what he said? We came up short. So now how are we going to be justified? By grace. you know, by grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace was the moving cause, as the old writers would say. It's the uninfluenced and unmerited favor of God. That's what grace is. I didn't influence God. You didn't influence God to save you. God was gracious to you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know that one time Noah was just as wicked as those people that he grew up with. Just as you, some of you, you're just as rotten as the people you ran around with. Right? And you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You're just as rotten as everybody else on this. I was just as rotten. I'm not even going to go there. And there's no sense in it, because then we got to be careful. We start gloating in it, because that old man's still there. But grace separated us. Grace made us a member of God's family. Grace, God chose us before the foundation of the world in grace. Nobody on this earth wants to be saved from sin. A whole bunch of people want to be safe from going to hell. They'll take any away. You just tell me how to escape it, and I'll do it. You know what that young man said? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept them all. No, you haven't. You haven't. You haven't kept one of them. If you wind up in glory, you wind up in glory by grace. That's how you wind up there, by grace. It's the uninfluenced and unmerited favor of God. When God chose you in Christ and justified you in Christ, He did so by grace. Wasn't it? Look at the empty seats. If people really wanted to be saved from their sins, this place couldn't contain the people. Our being justified has to do with our union to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's our union to Him. And when was that? Before the foundation of the world. I don't back up on the fact that God chose a multitude of sinners to save. Or nobody be saved. Are any of the fallen angels saved? Has any of them ever asked God for mercy? Or why do we think the human race would? Why would I think that a man would ask God for mercy when a fallen devil wouldn't ask God for mercy? Because the only difference between a devil and a lost man is the man has a physical body. That's the only difference between me and a devil by nature. That's the only difference. I got a body and they are spirit. And they never ask for mercy, and neither will I, and neither will you, unless God by His grace calls you. And if He calls you, it's because He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Or nobody be saved. Nobody. Our being justified has to do with our union to Christ. It says in Ephesians 1, now listen, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Does it stop there? No. Before the foundation of the world. That's what it says. In Romans 8:30, He says, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. Past tense. Past tense and all that. And if you notice, it said back there in Romans 3:24, freely. Freely. This means without a cause in them. Freely. There was nothing about us or in us to cause God to justify us. It was all found in grace. The second one. We are justified by His blood. Turn over to Romans 5. In Romans 5, look in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. His blood speaks of His sufferings and death. And let me tell you something. His sufferings and His death were for someone. He didn't just, now listen, his sufferings and death, his dying under the wrath of God was not to make salvation possible, but to make it an absolute. It's an absolute. Think about it. If people would just stop and think, God put his son through this torment, the torment of the hell of God's wrath. He put him through the hell of God's wrath. He was tormented. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Go read Psalm 22. That's the Psalm of the cross. And then he's going to leave the end result up to a bunch of rebels. He's going to leave the end result to a bunch of people who hate God by nature. The scripture says our natural mind is enmity with God. We come into this world with enmity in our minds against God. And he's going to leave the end result, which is his chief glory. His redemptive glory is his chief glory. And he's going to leave that up to a bunch of rebels. God's going to glorify his son. He's going to populate heaven with the people just like his son. He's going to see to it. He's going to see to it that his son is honored and glorified. And he's not going to lose a one. That's what the Lord said in John 6. All that the Father giveth me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I'll not lose a one. He said in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Well, it couldn't be any more plainer than that. Our Lord suffered at the hands of justice. Now, wouldn't that be double jeopardy? Some of you knows anything about the law? If I'm cleared of all charges, if Christ died for me, if he died under the penalty of the law, and he died for me, and then when it's all over and said and done, and then I die for my own sins because I didn't accept him as my personal Savior, that can't be. That can't be. If he satisfied justice, he satisfied justice concerning a person, a people. And they are cleared. They are cleared of all. And who are they? It says Christ died for sinners. Well, you just find one. You just find a biblical description, described sinner. Everybody says, well, I'm not perfect. Well, then you're in trouble. Because God says it must be perfect to be accepted. Didn't he? Well, the only way I could be perfect is in Jesus Christ. I can't do it myself. But God made me perfect in his Son. Our Lord suffered at the hands of justice. He suffered the just for the unjust, the scripture said. He suffered the just one, the just and holy one. He suffered for the unjust. That he might do what? Offer salvation to them? That he might bring us to God. That's why he suffered. The just one suffered for the unjust one, that he might bring that unjust one before God just. That's what he did. His blood is the blood of atonement that God required. And what we have here is his obedience from the cradle to the grave. And by his blood and his righteousness, we are justified from all things from which we couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. And thirdly, the third word, justified by faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, as we know, is the gift of God. Isn't that what Scripture says? It's the gift of God. And by faith, we receive him who justifies us. That's what faith does. It receives him who justifies. We drink his blood by faith. We eat his flesh by faith. And we speak only of his righteousness by faith. And without faith, no man will be justified. As it says, all that believe are justified from all things. Thomas Bradbury said this, faith is not a work performed by us in order to be justified, but a work performed in us by which we apprehend and glory in our justification. Faith is a gift of God. Faith receives Christ, and that faith is the work of God. You see, we're justified, it says, by faith, but we're justified by the object of faith. It's Christ. And then fourth word, justified by works. You say, oh, you're crossing the line now. You went too far. James 2:24 says it. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? You know, for a long time, many had trouble with this years and years and years ago. One writer thought that at one time thought it shouldn't even be in the scripture. But when God gives you light and understanding, you keep it in its right place. Scripture interprets scripture. The evidence of true saving faith that lays hold of Christ who justifies us are our works. It's the evidence. It's the evidence of faith. Works are the outward evidence of an inward heart faith. A man's faith is known by his works. Faith without works, James says, is dead. It's evident you're lost. Because it's called works of faith and labor of love. It's God working in us and God working through us. We are a fruitful people. God's people are a fruitful people. They bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And I tell you, love, you find where real love is, and you'll find a people putting forth an effort to help one another, to look after one another, to support the gospel. Where there's real faith, that'll happen. You remember Abraham and Isaac? God told Abraham to offer up Isaac. You know what he did? He did just as God told him. You know why? He believed God. It was the evidence of his faith. If God had said, Abraham, offer up Isaac, and Abraham would have said, no, that's my only son. That's the son you promised me. Why are you going to take him? He didn't argue. We read no argument with God. No argument. He said, son, he got the fire and the wood. He said, let's go. And he took him up there to sacrifice him. And I like what Abraham said when Isaac said, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said it right. God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. Now listen, this is important. And God will provide himself as the lamb. He's that man hanging on that cross is God Almighty in the flesh. And that's what justifies us. That person, by him. A man's faith is known by his works. James says that James contends for a living faith attended with living works. And then fifthly, justified by your words. Justified by your words. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A man who is born of God agrees with God. David did. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you may be just. When you judge me, you'll be just. You agree with God, and you receive the righteousness of Christ as your only righteousness. You know you don't have any. You have no righteousness of your own. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your words will confess all the above that we have just looked at. Now, in all of justification, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in our justification. It is God that justifieth, that is God the Father. It's by him you are justified, the Son. And it's through and by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:11. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I didn't convince you. No preacher, if God has saved you, no preacher ever convinced you of your sins. No preacher ever convinced you of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and your need of it. No preacher ever convinced you of judgment, the judgment that you deserve and I deserve. The Holy Spirit did that. No preacher convinced you to come down an aisle and to make a false profession. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit convinced you to flee to Christ. The Holy Spirit did. He's the one who convinces us. He's the one who takes the things of Christ and reveals them to us. I can stand here and tell you the truth and take the Word of God and give you the truth. But only He can put it in your heart. I can't put it there. I can't put it there. The new birth is of Him. You are not born again because you believe. You believe because you are born again. Life has to happen before you'll believe God. Dead people don't believe anything. The new birth is of Him, and that new creation is in righteousness and true holiness. If any of these are missing, it's evident we've not been justified. And all that I have mentioned, all of it is packaged up and put into Jesus Christ. And we're justified in Him, by Him. Now Paul says back over here in Acts, and I close. He says in Acts 13 and 40, "Beware, therefore." Now beware. I tell you this, beware that you don't walk out that door and forget what you just heard. Beware. It's easy. It's easy for something to come along and you, it's gone. "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you." And I just declared it to you this morning. I just declared it to you. And after Paul preached this, there were some Jews and Gentiles who wanted to hear this message again. You want to hear this message again? And you know that the next Sabbath, that almost the whole city came out to hear? That whole city almost came out to hear. And you know what it says in verse 48? "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Believed. Oh, I want to be one of those that believe. Lord God, I told Vicki yesterday, I said, there's a lot of things I want to enjoy a comfortable living. I want to enjoy a comfortable living. You know, there's some things I want to enjoy. But I said, there's one thing that I want more than anything else. I want the Lord to save me. I said, I pray that God will be gracious and grant it to me. I want to die looking forward to it. I want to die with excitement. I'm about to get to go to heaven. I'm about to go to paradise. I'm about to get to see the Jesus Christ that I preach here every week. I want death to be a happy occasion. And the only way that can be a happy occasion is if I and you grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we don't, we're going to be hanging on. We're going to be grabbing on to everything and not wanting to let go. Let it go now. Oh, let's grow up. Let's grow up in Christ and look forward when that day comes. You know, I think it'd be a wonderful thing if the doctor says you got 6 months to live and you say, "Woohoo! I get to go home. All right.